I trust him. I really appreciate our services last Sunday. I sensed him in our church and in the messages as well. And so we're talking about life's problems. And I'm going to speak about something tonight that many of you will not ever experience this problem, most likely. Some of you would have this problem, but people would be shocked to realize that you would suffer from a problem like this. But it's a big deal. And I think if I can help one young person tonight, it'd be worth the message. I don't think it'd be a long message either. So those of you who don't have this problem, you'll be glad that it's short. And you'll be glad you didn't have this. Some years ago, we lived in the little trailer on the church property just across the yard from the church building. It's a little bitty trailer. It was very small for us. We put up a fence, a chain link fence. Tommy Hosey and I put a fence up, and we got a little puppy, German Shepherd. And we were a family of six, and the little trailer was very small for us. But I want to tell you, some of the best years of our life was there, and we just enjoyed life. God had just brought us here, and we were just starting a ministry here, and there's a lot of things that needed to be done, and we enjoyed living there. We were in close, tight quarters, but it was fun. And those little, that little trailer, it was just like the walls were made out of tissue paper, so you could hear everything from one end of the house to the other. And Rachel came in to the den, and Joy Bell was in the bathtub splashing about. And they were, you know, just young little girls. And Rachel came in, and she told her mother that she was she felt like she was ugly or she was not pretty. And I heard this, and my ears picked up, and I said, "Who told you this? Who told you that you were not pretty? Who is this that told you this?" She said, "Daddy, nobody told me this." And I said, "I'll tell you who told you this. The devil told you this." I said, "The devil told you this because we are made in God's image. And if we reject ourselves, then we will reject God too." And I said, "You're a very pretty girl. You have beautiful dark hair. I mean, you know how many girls would be envious to have beautiful dark hair like that?" I said, "You're just a little girl, but you're going to grow up to a beautiful lady." I said, "What makes you think that you're ugly?" She says, "My legs are too long." I said, "Your legs aren't too long. Your legs are beautiful." I said, you don't say, I said, not that we should be noticing, but the showgirls in Las Vegas, they're not sawed off little runny women. They have beautiful, long, gorgeous legs, and that's, you're going to have beautiful, gorgeous legs, and there's nothing wrong with your legs. And by that time, we heard a tidal wave in the bathtub, and Joy Bell comes out with a towel wrapped around her, and says, "Oh, Daddy, what am I going to do? I'm a sawed-off runt. Nobody's going to want me." And I turned to Debbie, and I said, "This is yours," and I walked out, because there's no winning on that. Now, it's important that we deal with a healthy self-image. Now, I know some of you are John Wayne, and it just don't matter on Pilgrim. It doesn't matter, but it does to a lot of people. And we when we reject our image, we reject the Lord as well. Now, we give the victory verse, and the victory verse is found in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And this is our victory verse on self-image. Now, let me say a few things before we get into the meat of what I want to share with you. There are things that are changeable. And if you can change them, then you should. You know, if you say, "Well, you know, my teeth are ugly," and you could eat, corn through a picket fence, your front teeth, your buck, you know, you can get braces and fix that. Amen. You know, if a strong gust of wind comes up and you be picked up in the air about 3 feet because you have ears like Dumbo, they have some things they do today. I know people who've had their ears pinned and straightened and things like that. Now, I do want to say this. We need to be careful because it's a slippery slope, because before long you think, "You know, I think I want to be a man. I think I want to be a woman. You know, but there are some changeables that, you know, but if you reject yourself, I don't like my hair. What's wrong with your hair? It's too straight. It's too flat. What's wrong with your hair? It's too curly. It's just everywhere. You know, what do you not like? I'm too dark. I'm just too dark. The Spanish people are wearing long sleeves trying to stay lighter. The Caucasian people are trying to go to tanning beds to get browner. Everybody's messed up on this stuff. God created you with the skin that you have. Embrace it and be thankful for it. There's nobody else like you, and you should embrace that. Listen, if you're overweight, I'm going to be careful treading here, that's a changeable. It's not easy. And you can't take a pill. If they made a pill that you could take at night and wake up in the morning and shake the fat out of the cheeks, wouldn't that be wonderful? But, you know, the fact of the matter is you're going to run on a treadmill for an hour and 15 minutes and eat a Snicker bars and gain all that back just right that quick. And I know that for a fact. But there are changeables that we need to understand that can be fixed and that you can address. On the other hand, there's no excuse for poor hygiene. Soap. Use soap. Use deodorant. Look like somebody that didn't crawl out of the alley or from underneath a rock. Bathe regularly, okay? And if you say, do I smell? You probably do, okay? So there's no excuse for poor hygiene. Be a clean person. And then at the same time, you know, be conscious of your breath. If you just ate at a Mexican restaurant, you may not want to be in somebody's face, or you might want to carry some mints with you or something. But, you know, have some proper hygiene. And then understand this too, be the best that you can be. Be your best you. In other words, don't say, well, you know, my dad, he didn't do this, and his dad didn't do this, and his dad didn't do, you know, my dad couldn't do algebra, and his dad couldn't do algebra, so I can't do algebra. You know, don't settle for the common, you know, quo. Make yourself, challenge yourself to step out. You know, it's amazing to me, people, and for instance, for hygiene, who are filthy. I mean, just filthy. And you go to their house, there's cockroaches everywhere. There's a plate on the television that's been sitting there, and there's a biology project growing on top of it now. I mean, that hasn't been there just a day or so. And these people go to college, they have roommates, they see how other people live, and when we should better ourselves. I went off to college, and I learned a lot of things, what not to do. And some of it was humbling, and some of it was humiliation, but you learn, and you should better yourself, make yourself better. And if you can see yourself, but there's the different mirrors of the world, and Hollywood has one of them. Now consider the Hollywood mirror. When you look at yourself in the Hollywood mirror, what do you see? When you look at yourself in the Hollywood mirror, what do you say? When you look at yourself in the Hollywood mirror, what do you think? And you look at those magazines at the checkout place. I presume they're still there. I haven't been there since 1994, but I'm sure they're still there. They Photoshop those pictures. They and these stars, they have stuff sucked here and pushed there and pumped there and pulled there and all this kind of stuff. Don't look through Hollywood and don't let them set that standard for you. Now, consider the distorted mirrors. That these distorted mirrors will destroy your self-image, and you need to guard your self-image. For instance, there's the appearance mirror, and that means my value depends on how I look. My appearance, my self-worth, my value depends on how I look. Now, we ought to look the best that we can, but we should not allow this distorted mirror because we can't look a certain way. You know, there's some people, they think their hair's too straight, they think their hair's too flat, they think their hair's too curly. Some wish they had hair, and so they're there. And don't let the appearance mirror, my value depends on how I look. I see people, they never can be on time because they're working on their looks to the last minute. You know, I mean, and we ought to, you ought to brush your teeth and comb your hair and all the other stuff that goes along. But, you know, if you just can't just get it straight, it's time to go, honey. Let's go. I used to tell our kids walking through the house, 10 minutes, 10 minutes. And they knew what did that mean? 2 minutes. It meant 2 minutes. I said 10 minutes. But if I was in the car earlier, it means now, right now, let's go. And so don't let your appearance be your value. Don't depend on your looks. And by the way, beauty is vain, Proverbs 31. It's lasting here and it's gone forever. I'm amazed at some people who are so beautiful and so handsome and how ugly they are today in their ugly age. If you want to know if it's you, come and see me after the service. Okay. There's the performance mirror, and my value depends on what I can do. Can I slam dunk the basketball? You know, can I run the marathon? Oh, you know, I want to pick on Ryan a little bit. You know, he's a great runner, by the way. He's a great athlete. And he better be glad he didn't meet me in my prime and everything. I hated running. And so there's the performance mirror, you know. All my value is wrapped up in what I can do, my performance. All my value is wrapped up in how I look, my appearance. And then there's the status mirror. My value depends upon what others think of me. Now, there's some of us here would say, well, I don't care what people think. But, you know, we really do, and we ought to, because we represent the Savior. And, you know, now there comes a point where we don't have to have people's approval if we have His approval. But we do need to be considering what people think about us. But we don't need to let our appearance or our performance or our status dictate our value. Can you say amen? Now, until we see ourselves as God sees us, we're destined to have this inferiority feeling. Now, I think there are people who feel inferior. And you can see how they conduct themselves. And there's all these self-help books and books for assertion and things like that. But those aren't things that you need to read. That's just going to make you mean and make you crazy. You don't need to read those things. I want to give you three words tonight that will help you with your self-image. Number one is knowledge. Knowledge. The Bible says that my people perish for a lack of knowledge. And when I say knowledge, we need to get God's view of ourselves. Look what the Bible says. First of all, we are created in His image. I already read this, but Genesis 1:27 says, so God created man in His own image. Now, this doesn't mean that we look like God. That doesn't mean that we have God's nose or we have God's ears. It means that we are three parts, body, soul, and spirit. And God is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And so we are three parts. In the image of God created He him, male and female. There's not a blend here. It's either or. And it's determined, at birth. It's clear. Created He them. In Psalm 139, verse 14 and verse 15, the Bible says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. We are the product of God's handiwork. He says, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee. When I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest part of the earth. We are created in God's image. God gave you the color of your hair. God gave you the color of your skin. God gave you the color. Well, I just wish I had blue eyes. Blue eyes are so pretty. I wish I had blue eyes. I got these big old brown sad eyes. Where's Maggie at? Oh, is she here? Okay. She got these big old brown sad eyes. I wish I had blue eyes. Oh, I wish I had hazel eyes. Hazel eyes are so gorgeous. You know what? Be thankful for what God gave you. God gave you the eyes that you've got. Can I tell you this? Listen to me. God didn't make a mistake giving you the parents He gave you either. He gave you those parents. Say, boy, why didn't I have a better father? Why didn't I have a better mother? Why didn't I grow up with a better family? You know, God knew what you needed, and God did it on purpose. We are created in God's image. It's knowledge we need to see or get God's view of ourselves. God created us. Secondly, we are seen by God. 1 Samuel 16, verse 17. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature. Now, this is one of the worst polluted verses that people use today. They want to use this verse and say, you can look any way you want to look because God didn't look on the outward. No, what God is saying to Samuel, David's not going to be head and shoulders. He's not going to be that impressive on the outside, but he's a man after God's own heart. That's what God's saying here. He's not saying it don't matter how you look. You know, you look like the devil, you look like the world. Well, God didn't look on the outside. Yes, he does. He sure does. And we see here, in this case, he says, you know, don't look upon his countenance, his height, his stature. He says, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. God sees you. He sees you with your bald head. He sees you with your brown head, your brown skin, your black skin, your white skin, your albino skin. He sees you. I used to tell Debbie she's so white she could pass for albino. And God sees you. Let's have some knowledge and get God's view of ourselves. We are created in his image. He sees us. Listen, God loves us. Jeremiah 31, verse 3, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. He loves us. And God made us in his love. We're in his image. We'll be grateful. You know, we may talk like this. We may kind of talk like this. We might talk like this. It might be 3 o'clock, you know. God makes the way we talk. And understand, he loves us. Understand, God redeemed us. We are redeemed by him. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God, what? In your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Notice the knowledge, getting God's view of ourselves. He created us. He sees us. He loves us. He redeemed us. He secures us. Ephesians 1 verse 13, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Now look what it says. In whom also after ye have believed, you are sealed, you are secured, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. He secures us. He ordained, we are ordained of God. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Again, in Ephesians 4, verse 15 and 16, he says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. God ordained us. So if you're going to have the self-image you should have, now don't be haughty, don't be arrogant, but accept who you are. Now, if you got some improvements, you need to shed a few pounds, maybe you need to gain a little bit. You know, Brother Gray used to have a session of goal setting, of setting goals for the Christian school teachers that we had. And he said, for instance, it's my goal to gain 15 pounds this year. And then he'd pull out a Milky Way and start eating a Milky Way or something. And those female teachers would just growl underneath their throat and everything. And of course, he was just pencil thin back then. Now he's kind of he's beefed up some since that time. And so, you know, understand that we might need to change in some areas. And areas that are changeable, we ought to change them. We feel good about it. I'm not talking, listen, you don't need to go to Hollywood and become half plastic. That's foolishness. Accept who you are. You look at some of these people, and I'm not saying this in an ugly, critical way, but you look at a Michael Jackson before he died, and all the plastic surgeries, and there's many, many others as well who just could not accept how he was made. He had been much better off to stay that kid where was he from, Dean? Gary, Indiana. Yeah, from Gary. Yeah. Now, understand, we get a healthy self-image by knowledge, and we get God's view. God views us as his creation. He sees us. He loves us. He's redeemed us. We are secured by him. We are ordained by him. Those are winning combinations. Those are steps for sure success. Now, secondly, not as knowledge only, but the second word for a healthy self-image is faith. Faith. Believing God's view about ourselves. We need to look what God sees, and then we need to believe what God sees. Now, faith is built on nothing more than the Word of God. Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith grows through a renewed mind. Now catch this, Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. You need to think different. How do we think different? We get in this book. We grow in our faith by hearing the Word of God, whether it's preached or taught or read. And then he says, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When we hear God's word, and when we understand God's view of ourselves, we have that knowledge that we're in his image, we're seen of him, we're loved of him, we are redeemed by him, we are secured in him, we are ordained by him. When we grasp that, then we need to take that truth that God is all these things to us and be pleased with what God has given us. Now, faith is built by God's word. Faith grows through the renewing of our mind. We got to think. We got to think the way God thinks. Now, I'm not going to preach against this, but let me tell you something. Listen to me. Everybody listen to me, because you need to know this. You don't need to go around like you got a tarantula on your eyes. I hadn't seen this stuff since Tammy Faye Baker. And I had a lady, it was a waitress, I think. And she came to, and she was a really sweet girl. And I think she was a pretty girl. But she had these things on, and they were ridiculous. She looked like a freak with them on. She looked pitiful. Every time she came by, I couldn't keep the menu on the table. The wind kept blowing it off. You know, I'm just having a little fun with myself now. But who told her that? Who told her that she had to put those things on her eyes? I just want to thank God tonight that he made me a man, because I would never get those things on my eyes. I don't wear contacts. Never have, never will. The closer my finger gets to my eye, the wider my mouth is. You know, I can't do it. Contacts for young people, they're concerned about their looks. When you get my age, you don't care. You know, call me four eyes, I don't care. But we have got to have knowledge of God's view of us, and then we have got by faith to receive and believe what God's view of us is. That comes by faith, and that comes by renewing our mind. The world says this. The Bible says that's foolishness. The world says do this. God says stay away from that. You know, the world says if you're going to be hip, you need to put grease in a bowl, put it on your head, and twist it, and come out looking like Justin Bieber years ago, you know. And all these boys going around with a Justin Bieber. They don't know who they are. They don't know who they are. Teenagers say, I've got to be an individual. But they clone themselves to other teenagers. An individual is a junior age boy. That's who an individual is. Put your hand in his pocket, you don't know what you're going to pull out. You say, they don't care. They're not trying to, you know. So understand, you need to determine to remove the distorted mirrors of the world and of Hollywood and the pressure of this world with the mirrors of God's word. It says, does God have mirrors? Yeah, he does. James chapter 1. Matter of fact, there's several passages that mentions mirrors, but this is what I'm using tonight. James 1, verse 22. He says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass, in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth the manner of man he was. We need to look in the mirror of God's word and let it project to us what we need to look like. Now, there's something, it's very lengthy. I didn't bring it tonight, but it's called the Death of Pretty. How many remember that article, The Death of Pretty? Debbie does. Anybody else? Yeah, you probably didn't read it. But there's an expression, she's hot. Yeah, that's wicked. It's worldly and it's wrong. She's pretty. She's feminine. She's delicate. She's gorgeous. You know, I had a man one time come to me with whom I know, says, man, your daughter is hot. And I thought, you dirty old man. That's what I thought. I didn't say it to him, but I thought it. But he was ignorant, and what I said Sunday night about, you know, ignorant people, you got to let some stuff go. You know, there's the death of pretty, and we have young ladies today, for some reason, they have this great pressure from the world to look like the world, and I want you to know, most of the world looks like tramps. I have stronger words to say than that, but I don't want some of the young kids to go home and ask you what it means. They look like tramps. I don't know why it is, but we have a wedding a policy for some reasons. Good Christian girls who've never been immoral most any time in their life want to come down with everything open and showing. You know, it's ridiculous. And they have to have their dress and their bridesmaids' dresses approved before the wedding. So where did that come from? From experience. Because it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. You know, there's this great pressure. Charles Spurgeon said that the world gets its fashion from Paris, and Paris gets its fashion from hell. Spurgeon dealt with this in his day. Now, so understand, if we are going to have the right self-image of ourselves, we need knowledge, three words to have a biblical self-image. Knowledge, that's God's view of ourselves. We need faith, that's we believe God's view about ourselves. You know, there's no reason. Let's just talk on it for a little bit, okay, can we? There's distinction and there's modesty. And there's some who won't agree about the distinction. But man, you don't even deal with the modesty. You know, you wear some skirt zipped up halfway up to your panty. You know, that is not modest. You wear your clothes so tight that you leave no imagination. That is not modest. I want to tell you, I don't know when women got the idea that they can wear Pilates pants what's that other exercise thing? Yoga pants. I have never seen something so vulgar in my life and seeing that. It's filthy. And back they used to wear them and they had some sweater down to the middle of their thigh. They don't do that anymore. It is terrible. I want to tell you, it's terrible. It is not defendable. You cannot defend it. Where'd you get that from? Well, you don't have the view of God with that. That is not God's view of modesty. And when you wear anything that draws attention from your face to a part of your body, you are immodest. Now, you can't defend this. There's no way. And it is wrong. And there are those today who hate preaching like this, and there are those who watch the live stream, and they'll attack from some of the things that I've said, and I don't care if they want to attack. It's not defensible. You cannot defend it. You wear something that's so down and low that it's just, you're exposing yourself, and God forbid you bend over. Yeah. Right? It's not modest. And I don't understand a husband. I tell my daughters, you're not going out that way. I tell my granddaughters, I don't know what your mom and daddy think, but you're not wearing that with me. And I tell Debbie, yeah. I'd run, but I tell her, you know. I tell Debbie. And Debbie would want me to tell her. Why don't you tell your wife? That's a little bit risque. That's a little bit too much out there. What's wrong with you? I'm just telling the truth. It's modest. You can talk about, you know, well, Pastor, he's a little bit heavy on this article of clothing. Man, you're way past that. Way past it. It's like those people say, well, they drink wine in the Bible. Well, they're not drinking wine. They're drinking whiskey and beer. Right? And they didn't drink wine in the Bible either. Jesus didn't turn water into wine, into alcohol. He didn't do it. You see, you folks can't get some of these things straight. They bother you. You can't get them straight. And you wonder why you don't have success in your Christian life. You got to draw the lines. You got to have knowledge. And that's getting God's view of yourself. And you got to have faith. And that's believing God's view about yourself. Lastly, I think you got to have experience. And I don't think any of us just start here. I think we have experiences that help us develop to get here. Yeah. And three things here. Number one, expedite your God-given ability. He tells us in Exodus 31, verse 13, I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge. And in all manner of workmanship. Understand this. Expedite your God-given ability. God has given you an ability. Find out what it is and use it for his glory. Secondly, exercise your spiritual gifts. He tells us in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 5 and 6 and 7. He says, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord, and there are diversities of operations, but the same God, which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. God has given you gifts, and you know Rush Limbaugh used to say, "Ability on loan from God." Well, he was right. All the ability that we have. It's on loan for God. God's given it to us. Now, do I have your attention? Because I think some of you got a little bit nervous because of what I just said. Just get over it. Buckle your seatbelt. You know, if you got a problem, come up here and tell me how I'm wrong. I'd love for you to do that because it's not modest. You're not going to tell anybody wearing that stuff. God. No. Now, notice, thirdly, embrace your past. And this is what I'm talking about, experience. In Romans 8, 28, it says, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. There are things in our past that happened that we didn't think, oh man, nothing good's going to come from this. This is terrible. And it was terrible. But God has used it for good in our life. It wasn't good that Joseph was thrown into the pit. It wasn't good that his brothers and sisters, our sisters, his brothers talked about killing him. It wasn't good that they sold him into slavery. It wasn't good that he ended up in Potiphar's house and his wife tried to seduce him. It wasn't good that he ended up in prison. But God used all those experiences to bring him to the point where he was the second in rule over the world, pretty much. See? And we need to use our experiences. We need to embrace our past. And although others have meant it for hurtfulness. And can I tell you this? I don't ever want to hurt you. I just want to tell you the truth and help you. But embrace your past. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4 says this. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Now, many things that are huge to us now, and I really want our young people to hear this, many things that are just, you know, you just feel like diving on your sword over won't matter later, won't matter a bit. And you can go to your mom and your daddy, and you can tell them, and they'll tell you so. When you grow older, when you get to be a little bit older, some of these things just do not matter. But tonight, they're very big and very important. I remember years ago, we were at camp with a group of kids years ago, and this child was just so emotional, and I saw it. So I went to them and I said, "Can I help you? What's your?" And they began to cry, and I said, "What is it?" And they basically said, "When I get back home, I want to have to wear glasses, and it's just the worst thing I can imagine. I'm not going to look good. I'm not going to look good." And I comfort them, and I said, "You're going to look fine." I said, "Look at me. Look how great I look, you know." And they're like, and understand. There's some things time will just pass by, and those things don't matter. So don't die or fall on your sword tonight. But I want you to know this. You are special. God created you. There's not another one like you. Quit trying to be somebody else. Quit trying wishing you were somebody else. Stop worrying about or wishing you were in a different family or you had different parents. God knows what he's doing. And if you have some changeables, if you can have your teeth straightened, if you can, you know, fix something that's annoying to you, that's fine. Get braces and fix it. But accept who you are. This is life's problems. There are people who go through life, all their life, wishing they were accepted and accepted by distorted, worldly, world's mirrors that don't matter. And God's people said, amen. Father, I pray that you help us tonight. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us to see these things and not let the world and our family and our best friends and different ones put this pressure. Lord, our appearance and our performance and our status do not become the value of who we are. Our value is found in you. And we, by faith, need to embrace those things. And then we need, by experience, to discover ourselves. We need to expedite our abilities, find out what they are. We need to exercise our spiritual gifts. And we need to embrace our past. The things that we have learned. I pray that you would help young people tonight, that they'll not get into this competition and feel like that they've got to have this competitiveness with the world and a certain dress and a certain wear, attire and a certain status quo. And Lord, help us to relieve ourselves from all this unneeded pressure by simply looking to you and believing what you say and having that knowledge and that faith and that experience. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I didn't want to bring this message tonight. I have a lot better things that I think I could preach on. But I kept coming back to it because I just felt like that's what God would have for us. And if I felt one young person tonight, or anybody tonight, it's worth it. But I hope that you'll realize, listen, how dear and how precious you are to the Lord. He loves you immensely. And you don't need to be in the world's race to try to stay up with that. You need to be the girl and the boy and the man and the woman and the person who God would have you to be. And you need to have His approval and not the world's approval. Your value comes from Him, not from your parents. Your value comes from Him, not from your performance. And your value comes from Him, not from some status. Would you stand with me? Lord, bless tonight. Help our people, and especially our young people. May they have some relief and some pressure. Now, Lord, this isn't given for us to be lazy and not improve ourselves. We certainly need to do that. In areas that we are not comfortable with ourselves about, that are changeable, may we work hard and change them. But Lord, give us this knowledge, this faith, and this experience so that we'll have a healthy self-image. I pray that it's been clear and helpful tonight in Jesus' name. If you've got